Hear all our prayers, accept our offerings and our praises. At the end of this service, Lord Jesus, let us be happy we came. In Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Can we put hands together for the living God as we sit down? You may be seated. God bless you. You are welcome to church today. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. And about 2,000 years ago, in a day like this, they went to the tomb and they discovered that the tomb was empty. And that became a lifelong memorial. We don't serve a dead God, we serve a living God. Is that right? I thought I would get an amen from somebody. We serve the living God. Nobody like our God. Hallelujah. You're welcome, and I pray that the Lord will bless you richly today in Jesus' name. You will not regret your coming to church today. God bless you. God bless us all. This morning, briefly, we'll be looking at what we have titled the test of discipleship. The test of discipleship. The test of discipleship. From the human point of view, there are two categories of people following the Lord Jesus. Are we together? If you are with me, shout hallelujah. Two manner of followers follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Or let me put it this way. The followers of Jesus Christ are categorized into two. We have the first one, the multitudes. And the second one, the disciples. Wherever Jesus Christ is, wherever he is manifested, wherever he appears, he has a lot of followers. Amen? But the followers of Jesus are categorized into two. The multitudes and the disciples. Let's look at some scriptures. Look at Matthew chapter 4. The book of Matthew chapter 4 from verse 23. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 23. There's something the Bible says there. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame, Jesus is very famous. His fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torment, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he did what? And he healed them. Now look at verse 25. And there followed him what? Some people are not here. And there followed him what? Great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and beyond Jordan. Hallelujah. Two manner of people followed the Lord Jesus. The multitudes and the disciples. Ever since the inception, the beginning of his ministry on the shores of Galilee, throughout the seven church ages, even up to now, wherever the Lord Jesus Christ is moving, two categories of followers are following him. Two categories. The first are the multitudes. Of course, the Lord Jesus is famous. Somebody that went about doing good, healing sick, raising the dead and doing all manner of things. Such a person we attract to crowd. In another portion in John chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. A person that can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiply it and feed multitude. Will such a person not have so many fans and followers? After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Verse 2, John 6. And a great multitude did what? Why? Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were what? Diseased. You have been sick for 10 years. Doctors could not do you any good. And then one man came by the name of Jesus, and he touches you, and instantly you receive your healing. Please, won't you follow that man? You are hungry, and the man took bread and fish and made sandine bread that many people ate, and there was left over. Won't you follow such a man? Praise the living God. Although the purpose for the coming of Christ is to make disciples. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll do what? Give you rest. Next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The purpose for the coming of Jesus is to make disciples. A disciple is a protege, a pupil, one that takes after your ways, one that learns after you and walks in your footsteps. The purpose for his coming is to make disciples, but fortunately and unfortunately, multitudes will follow him because he is a good man. Anywhere he went, he was doing good. You have a problem, you come to Jesus, he takes it away. He takes a beggar and makes him a king. He takes a sick person and heals him. Such a person will attract followers. But out of the followers of Jesus, we have the multitudes and we have the disciples. Many will come to Jesus because of his goodness. Many will come to him because of his kindness, because of his compassion. Many will be attracted to him. Many will follow him. But not all followers of Jesus are disciples of Jesus. Are you with me, church? That is what we are looking at today. Not all the followers of Jesus Christ are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Those days in children's church, we used to sing a song. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you fall. Not all followers of Jesus are disciples of Jesus. There is a difference. There are differences between the multitudes and the disciples. Look at something in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 1. See something in Matthew 5 verse 1. Can we have it? Matthew 5 verse 1, not verse 11. And seeing the multitudes. Seeing who? The multitudes. What did he do? He left them and went into a mountain. Then what happens? When he was now sat on the mountain, who came to him? Oh, somebody is not seeing it. Don't forget the popular beatitudes. Blessed are these, blessed are that. The word for salvation can only be given to the disciples of Jesus and can only be received by the disciples of Jesus. Look at Matthew 5 verse 1 again. The story starts from where we read in Matthew 4. We saw what happened. The Bible says multitude followed him. This is the continuation. Don't forget, there were no chapters and verses when the Bible was written. It was hundreds of years later that they put chapters and verses to help us understand better. But it is a continuation from Matthew 4. The multitude followed him when they saw his miracles, his power. Then he says, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. He left them. The multitudes could not have been with him on the mountain. And he did what? He sat on the mountain. And who came to him? Then verse 2 says what? And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed and the poor in spirit, for what? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so on and so forth. A disciple is not just a follower. A disciple is a pupil. One that learns your ways and takes after you. Praise God. If you're a king, they'll say that is your heir apparent. The prince, the crown prince. But in this context, a disciple is your pupil. He's the one you lead. He continues your ways. He learns after you. He walks in your footstep. And the purpose for the coming of Christ is to make disciples. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus is interested in making disciples. Jesus is not interested in having multitude. Praise God. That is why it is funny when men of God complain about their church. People are not coming to my church. Pastor, who are you looking for? Multitude or disciples? The 10 that Jesus has given you, if you can bring 10 disciples to Jesus, you are better than a pastor that has 10,000 multitudes. Praise God. They are all following Jesus. The multitudes are following him for what they can get from him. If I can only be close to this man, I will have a bakery without capital. I will have a bakery without capital. Bread and fish every day without capital. Just, Master Jesus, just let me be the one that will gather the leftover every time you do miracle, so that I will go and sell. Supernatural bread and fish, it will even be sweeter than the natural one. Somebody must have been following Jesus for that. We saw it now, John chapter 6. The Bible said, because they saw the miracles he did, they followed him. And the same thing is still happening today. Why are you following Jesus? So that he will give you a husband, so that he will give you a child, so that he will make you rich, so that he will buy you cars and build you houses. If that is your purpose for following him, you are only part of the multitude. The disciples are called to go to the kingdom of heaven. The call of discipleship is a call for salvation. The call of discipleship is a call for eternal life. The call to discipleship, rather, is a call to enter the kingdom of heaven. Church, listen to this. Only the disciples of Jesus Christ will make heaven. Only the disciples of Jesus Christ will make heaven. Praise the living God. Did I say churchgoers will make heaven? It seems the sisters are more receptive today. Did I say everybody that says he's a Christian will make heaven? Only the disciples of Jesus Christ will make heaven. And we need to know these things today because everybody is a follower of Jesus. You go on the streets, everybody is born again. Even prostitutes in their brothels, they pay tithe. Everybody is now born again. I told you people an encounter I had in the barbing saloon some time ago. Where in the saloon, they were playing all this stand-up comedy. And when the comedian took the mic, he started with worship songs. Even a song as serious as, when you come to collect your people, remember me. You can't even sing such song laughing. Because when you are singing such song, you are looking inward. And everybody in that hall, everybody in that comedy conference was laughing, rejoicing, and they were all singing along. And the same comedian took mic and started saying immoral and dirty things. And the same people that just had the worship service continued immoral service. Praise the living God. So they are all Christians. They are all followers of Jesus. Jesus Christ is not a stranger in this generation. Everybody has heard about him. It is only in places like communist countries and Islamic countries that you can say Jesus is a stranger to many. But in a normal democratic country, Jesus is not a stranger. If you like, go and carry mic and stand up in your bus. Praise the Lord. Everybody will answer you if they are not too tired. You must be born again. We don't born again, tire. Say after me, we don't talk. So Jesus is not a stranger. Tiwa Savage sang a song. I saw the article, the headline on the news. Somebody's Son is the title. And she said the song is about Jesus Christ. Tiwa Savage, whose sex video is on the net. An immoral, ungodly ambassador of the devil, leading youth to hell. Said she sang a song and the title of the song is Somebody's Son. And she said it's about Jesus Christ. Can you see the point? She's also a follower of Jesus. He's not a stranger. But out of the followers of Jesus, there are the multitudes and there are the disciples. The kingdom of heaven is given to disciples only. Praise God.
You don't even need to please Jesus before he heals you. You don't need to please him before he gives you money. That is why we have cocaine pushers. They give tithe and offering. The one that is running now is Yahoo boys going to church to pay tithe. So nobody is a stranger to Jesus anymore. But out of this large followership, out of this large following, we have disciples and we have multitudes. While everybody can be attracted to him, the disciples are called for the kingdom. The disciples are given the standard of the kingdom. Everybody can come as you are. Multitude. Come as you are, you know, leave them, come as you are. But the disciples, he said, enter ye in through the straight gate. Let's read that scripture so that you understand what we are saying. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. Are we together, church? Let's take it from verse 12. Is it verse 12 or verse 13? Okay, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Brethren, Jesus is not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to followers of himself. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that doth what? That leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Next verse. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And do what? Few there be that do what? Find it. The disciples are few. The multitudes are many. And they are all following Jesus Christ. If you ask the multitude, is Jesus Lord? Yes, Jesus is Lord. If you ask the disciple, is Jesus Lord? Yes, Jesus is Lord. But there are parameters. There are tests to show who is a disciple and who is a multitude. Multitudes pray, disciples pray. Multitudes speak in tongues, disciples speak in tongues. Multitudes prophesy, disciples prophesy. There are tests to know who a disciple of Jesus is. Are we together? If you are getting blessed, shout hallelujah. Amen. Don't forget it. The call to discipleship is the call to salvation. If you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't make heaven. You are not saved. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at a few of these parameters, a few of these tests that Jesus has put in place to know who a disciple is. The fact that you come to church and clean the church before service starts, the fact that you give offering and tithe doesn't make you a disciple of Jesus. You are a follower of Jesus, quite all right, but it does not mean you are yet a disciple. One of the tests is what we see in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We need to know these things. Before we read that scripture, brethren, we need to know these things because there will be a great disappointment at judgment day. There will be. Many people who thought they would be in heaven will not make it. It's a fact. There will be a great disappointment. So, focus on your own. Focus on your life. Continue to work out your own salvation. Focus on yourself. Why? Before we take Luke 9, go to Matthew 22, verse 14. Many are called, but what? We are all seated in the church today. We are all carrying Bibles. But for many of us, our destinations are different. Don't think everybody that says shalom and praise the Lord with you will end up with you in the kingdom of God. And even you yourself, are you certain you will make it? You don't go to heaven by wish or by choice or by positive confession. There is formula to salvation. There are steps and ways to follow. Apostle Paul could be so sure of his life when he was about to die. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course.
Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. It was certain. It was not, I pray that when I see Jesus, he will accept me. No. Brethren, don't let anybody give you bread and butter Christianity. We believe in eternal security. But when the Bible says things like walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling, you will not say because of your knowledge of eternal security, you threw away such a scripture. Because you might think you are saved and you are not yet saved. Praise God. We have looked at it in this church. Salvation is a process, but that's not where we're going to. Now, the test of discipleship. Number one, Luke 9:23. What does it say? And he said to them all, if any man, if any woman will come after me, let him deny himself and do what? Take up his cross daily and do what? Follow me. If you will come after me, if you will be my disciple, this is what you will do. Don't follow me without a cross if you want to be my disciple. You are following me, but if you want to be my disciple, what distinguishes you from the multitude is that you take up your cross what, daily and follow me. Brethren, where is your cross? Any follower of Jesus Christ without a cross is only part of the multitude. He is not yet a disciple. Whoever is called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ will carry a cross and follow him. If you are getting it, shout amen. To take up the cross and follow Jesus is not to hang a pendant of gold or wood. It's not to even draw a cross in your body or to tattoo a cross on your body and say, Jesus said I should pick up my cross. So let me put a tattoo of cross. That's not the meaning. When you understand what the cross symbolizes, you understand whether you are carrying the cross. Taking up the cross has to do with a lifestyle. Taking up the cross to follow him is not to hang any pendant of cross on your this thing. The name of the Father. No, that's not the meaning. To take up the cross is a lifestyle. Let's understand the symbols or the symbolism of the cross. One, the cross is a symbol of suffering and shame. We all remember the song, The Old Rugged Cross. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross till my emblem, till my trophies at last I laid down. It says, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of what? Suffering and what? The cross is a symbol of suffering and shame. Jesus is saying, if you will be my disciples, be ready to suffer for me. Are we together? The word of God for our salvation that we receive, it comes with afflictions, trials, and tribulations. Somebody shout amen. The word of God is not supposed to just, you know, ref you up. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in dominion. I believe, I receive. I'm this, I'm that. Here is the bloody side of the gospel. Are we together? Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 21. When the word of God is given to you for salvation, is it verse 21? Yeah. Yet he had no root in himself, but endured for a while. Now, the next statement is my emphasis. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of what? People are not reading. Tribulation or persecution will arise because of what? There are people that will suffer just because they are following Jesus. Not because of any sin they committed. Before you were in that office, before Jesus Christ, before you became a disciple of Jesus, you were in that office, everybody liked you. But as soon as you became a disciple and you don't want to cut corners with them anymore, you don't want to falsify figures with them anymore, you don't want to dress like them anymore,
you become an object of ridicule, mockery. Some will even persecute you intentionally. That is a cross. To be a disciple of Jesus is not easy, but he makes it easy. Hallelujah. If you are going to come after him, he said what? Take up your cross daily and follow me. It is not maybe. You don't have a choice. It is a standard. It is a condition. You want to be my disciple, you pick up your cross and come with me. I did not say you should not follow me, oh, but if you want to be a disciple, take up your cross and follow me. But if you want to follow me without the cross, no problem. Be part of the multitude. Hallelujah. All our apostolic fathers, all except John the Beloved, died for Christ's sake. Apostle Paul was beheaded for Christ's sake. Peter was crucified upside down for Christ's sake. Apostle Paul said, I have count all but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my King. Brethren, your following of Jesus with the cross will cause you persecution, tribulation. Because you cannot go with the world. The word of salvation, imagine that the Bible says you should not lie or steal. In your business place, in your markets, there are associations of people that inflate prices and make things difficult for people and lie and this. You now, a disciple of Jesus, you will not be able to join them. What will they do? Brothers and sisters, you might even end up losing that shop, or they might end up kicking you out. Apostle Paul and Silas went to preach because they were preaching salvation. They were thrown into prison. Apostle Paul said, thrice have I suffered shipwreck. He said, a night and a day I have been in the deep. He said, I was let down through a window in Damascus because the whole city was under lockdown looking for me. Many disciples entered cities to preach. They were stoned. There was a story of a woman that was thrown into a bag full of snakes and was cast into the sea. Why? She is a Christian. It's not that you might give your blood. No. But one way or the other, the Bible has made it clear, all that we live godly in Christ Jesus will do what? Suffer persecution. So you should gird up the loins of your mind and be ready. I will be mocked for this old time gospel I've believed. I will be ridiculed. I will even be cheated. Because if you're a normal person, they will not say anything. They will not cheat you. But once you're a Christian, they want to use you and take advantage of you. If you try and talk, they say, and he says he's a Christian. Can you see what we go through? And he says he's a Christian. And he says he's a Christian. All that Pastor Moses suffered on social media some months back is only because he's a Christian. If you are as carnal as many of them, people that don't know anything will open their mouth and be saying rubbish on Facebook. You don't even know the case. You don't even know what is going on. That is part of the persecution. If you were to be a normal person like them, you know all of them will end up in jail. There is one thing or the other you will suffer for following Christ. Because you are not going to open your legs for a brother, you can lose the relationship. Because you will not sell your body, you are qualified for that job, but they will not give you. It is part of the persecution. If you will be a follower, a disciple rather, pick up your cross and follow him. Another symbol of the cross is a symbol of death. Jesus that took the cross, it was the cross that saw the end. Jesus died on the cross. Are we together? Jesus died he was crucified on the cross. So when he says, pick up your cross and follow me, he's speaking that you must die. Your old man must die. Your flesh must die. One of the greatest problems we have hindering us from serving God is what? Is our flesh. Anyone who shall be a disciple of Jesus, this flesh, this old man must be crucified. Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Can you see it? That is one evidence of taking up the cross. It is your old man that lusts. It is your old man that fornicates. It is your old man that lies. It is your old man that does these other vices. If you will follow Jesus as a disciple, that old man must die. The Bible says the flesh is in enmity against God. The old man must die before the new man can live. So picking up your cross to follow him, apart from the symbol of suffering and shame, it is also a symbol of death, crucifixion. The crucifixion was the highest form of capital punishment in the Roman Empire. It is for criminals that their cases are serious, and to also serve as a deterrent to others. When they crucify you, not what we see on the films where they wrap the loins of Jesus with clothes. The people crucified are crucified naked. There is nobody crucified that leaves the cross alive. Once they crucify you, you must die on that cross. If you don't die, they will come and stab you and make sure you die by force. We must die. Brethren, we must die. For many of us, our flesh is still alive. Why do you think we still have fornication in the church? Those are characteristics of the old man. Lying, cheating, gossiping, backbiting are all characteristics of that old man. That old man cannot enter the kingdom. And Jesus has shown you the way. If you will be my disciple, take up your cross. There must be a death sentence on that old man. He must be crucified. That is one of the meaning of taking up your cross. Another symbol of the cross is what? Sacrifice. The greatest sacrifice that mankind has ever seen was done at the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but what? Have eternal life. It was at the cross. It is a symbol of sacrifice. We need to look inward. Many Christians are not sacrificial today. We serve God by convenience, many of us, and not by sacrifice. The early disciples understood the meaning of discipleship. When you are called to follow Jesus as a disciple, Peter, it really got to a point. He said, we have forsaken all and followed thee. That is the call to discipleship. We have sacrificed all. That was what Peter was saying. Many of us find it hard to share. We need to look inward. Myself, as I was putting down this thing, I was asking God for mercy. Because you don't get to a point where you think you are standing. Even Apostle Paul said, if you think you stand, take it. So don't think I have arrived. Many of us as Christians are not sacrificial. We are not. There are Christians that have millions in their bank accounts, and there are needs in the house of God. They can't give it. There are Christians that have houses, empty rooms in their house. They can't accommodate a brother for a few days. Many of us are guilty of it. Forget it. Brethren will be in need. Brothers and sisters in the church know their need. Not once, not Babiala that will come and, you know, there are some people, begging is their career, and it is a very profitable career. You can beg and build house. It is a profitable career. It is like network marketing. Okay, I will target 10 sisters today and 10 brothers. If they can give me 1,000 naira, 10, 10, 20, that's how much. That can last me for this week now. And then the person will go from this to that. Ah, Brother Emeka, my children are in the hospital. I beg.
anything you can do for me. See, landlord, in fact, they have thrown my things outside. They have thrown my things outside. As I'm talking to you now, that's not what I'm talking of. But when you know a brother or sister has a need and you are in capacity to help, do you know what they'll say? Go and see the deacon. Why not go to the church? Who told you the church manufactures money? And that spirit is common in this church. There is no church as generous as Bride Assembly Church. If the church tells you we don't have, it's because we don't have. But you don't need to wait. How should you direct somebody to the church to collect money? Because you feel you give 1,000 naira offering every week. No. When you can help a brother or sister, part of the requirement of being a disciple is sacrifice. You help. Many of us can't sacrifice our energy, our substance, our time for the sake of the gospel. Like I said, a brother that is a professional in a field will be called on to do something in the church. Materials are provided for you. It's not that the thing will take all your days or your weeks. In the church, something that will benefit everybody, the person will still ask for workmanship. He's the one coming to do it though. If at all you're even bringing others and say, oh, please, for these people, I don't have, I would have helped them. But you, it is part of lack of sacrifice. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. The cross is also a symbol of brotherhood. Can we show the cross? Our pastor has emphasized what I'm about to say. Can we show the cross, cameraman? No, I want a very good view. Vertical, very good. And a vertical and a horizontal relationship. It is a symbol of brotherhood. Our Father. When you are called to take up your cross, you are called into a family. You have brothers, you have sisters. Jesus was asked, they came to tell him, rather, your mother and your brethren are waiting for you to see you outside. He said, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Anyone that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. When you take up your cross, any other disciple, I did not say church member, any other disciple of Jesus is your brother and your sister. You are called into a family, into a brotherhood, into what the worldly people will call a cult. But cult is very negative, so let's call it a brotherhood. Into a brotherhood. So it is not, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Are we seeing it now? Before you say you're a disciple of Jesus, be sure that you have passed all these tests. Be sure that you have passed all these tests. Pick up your cross and follow me. A symbol of suffering and shame. A symbol of death that the old man must die. A symbol of brotherhood and a symbol of sacrifice. Brethren, are you a disciple of Jesus? Another test of discipleship is what we see in John chapter 8, verse 31. Disciples, I will make you fishers of men. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews, which did what? Oh, you're not corrupting this verse with me. Then said Jesus to those Jews, which did what? That means they already believe on him, right? If ye continue in my word, then are you what? Then are ye my disciples indeed. Continuing in God's word is another test of discipleship. Now, continuing in God's word, we are going to take it from two angles. The first is that you don't fall back from what he has given you. Praise God. You don't fall back from what he has given you. He has given you his word. You must continue in that word. That is why we say there is no new gospel. That old time gospel that Jesus gave the apostles is still the only gospel that will make you a disciple.
There is no new understanding. So it is a capital offense in the kingdom of God. When somebody will open his Nigerian mouth and say that Apostle Paul made mistakes. Let me not go into that area, because anytime I go there, I get filled up with only indignation. The word of God that he has given us, he said, continue in it. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? How can the apostles baptize in the name of Jesus? And in this generation, you are bringing a new gospel. You are no more continuing his word. You are not a disciple anymore. The original word that he has given us, if you will be a disciple of Christ, you must continue in it. Let's take some scriptures. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. You must not depart from the word. You must continue in it. Take heed unto thyself and unto what? The doctrine, the teaching. Continue in them. Somebody say continue. Continue in them. This is Apostle Paul to Timothy. For in doing this, you will do what? You will save yourself and them that hear thee. Now let's get the opposite. That means if you leave the scripture on the screen, if you do not continue in them, what will happen? This is a simple classwork now. If you don't, he said, if you continue in them, you will save yourself and them. That means if you don't continue in them, what will happen? We must continue in the word of God. What brought about the fall of man in the Garden of Eden? It was lack of continuity. God gave his word, don't eat. Another interesting and eloquent preacher came with a new gospel, a new time religion. And what happened? That is a lesson to all of us. They stopped being the disciples of God. He kicked them out of the garden. Hallelujah. He says, if you continue in my word, then, only then, are you my disciples indeed. Brethren, this is serious, because many followers of Jesus have a new gospel. Many followers of Jesus have not continued in the word of Jesus. The Bible says we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. How come in this generation they have left what the apostles taught and have brought a new teaching, and they are still saying they are following Jesus? They are not disciples. Praise God. Apostle Paul warned us in 1 Timothy 4:1. He said the Spirit is speaking clearly, 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Can you see it? It has been prophesied already. Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, he said, there shall arise false teachers among us, and many, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, many shall follow their pernicious ways. Let's take it from verse 1. Since there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord about them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, verse 2 is my emphasis. It says, many, not few, will depart from. It says, many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Brethren, are you seeing it? And yet, they are all followers of Jesus. They are only multitudes. They are not disciples. The disciples of Jesus Christ will continue in the word of Jesus Christ. It is because of this understanding that Apostle Jude, in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, he said, contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered. Jude, not Judges, Jude chapter 1, verse 3. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Common salvation. Not salvation for the first church. It is a common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should do what? Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. If you fail to do this, you are not a disciple of Jesus. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. Are we together? The other angle of this continuity, continuing in God's word, is that the disciples of Jesus will move on with revelation. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you. John 16, 13. But you cannot bear it now. Okay, is it John 16, 13? John 14, 26, if I'm not mistaken. That particular statement. Okay, no, John 16, verse 12 and 13. I'm sorry. He said, but you cannot bear them now. Can you see it? But when he, the Spirit, I have yet many things to say unto you, but now you can't bear it. But when the Spirit of truth is come, he will do what? He will guide you into all truth. The disciples of Jesus, they continue in revelation. It was Apostle Peter that walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. It was Apostle Peter that received the key to the kingdom. It was Apostle Peter that opened the door on the day of Pentecost. But the same Apostle Peter needed to learn some things from Apostle Paul. And Peter did not come and say, hey, look at this one. When did you come? Oh, see this one. Me, I walked with Jesus. I was the PA to Jesus Christ. What are you saying? Go and ask them. Don't you know your history? When they were persecuting Jesus, who was that man that took a sword? Maintain your lane. Peter did not say so. But rather, what did Peter say? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Peter 3, 15. Peter was commending Paul. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse, he said, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also. According to what? Hey, Peter is acknowledging the wisdom upon a new apostle. Giving unto him, at written unto you. Verse 16. On, as also in all his epistles. That means Peter read the epistles of Paul. Speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned and unstable, they do what? They fight. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Praise the living God. The children of God, the disciples of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth, they continue in revelation. Are you with me? And this particular point is very, very necessary, especially to we that are on the other side of the history of the church. The church has fallen away and God is in the business of restoring the church to the way it was in the days of apostles. But the restoration, they will not just occur at once. Restoration of the church is in a process. Beginning from the ministry of Martin Luther. It's more light, more light, more light till the perfect day. That is why Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18 says what? The path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Brethren, even if you say there's no new revelation, your understanding will continue to go deeper till Christ comes. Are you getting it? Part of the test of discipleship, anyone that cannot continue in God's word is not a disciple of Jesus. So when we see these big denominationals that will build a fence around themselves and say, no, this is what we have believed. We don't want any new thing. You should know that that person is not a disciple of Jesus. When a big GO opened his mouth and say what? There are some people baptizing in Jesus' name. If they come across you, run from them. Don't give it to them that this is the spirit of Antichrist. Between the GO and us, who is baptizing in Jesus' name? Who is the real Antichrist? The meaning of anti is against. He is against Christ. He is the real Antichrist. He cannot continue in God's word. He is not a disciple without apology. Test of discipleship. Continuing in God's word. Now, finally, because of time, another test of discipleship is what we see in Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to 37. Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to 37. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" Follow this story very well. "But they held their peace. For by the way, they are disputed among themselves. Who should be the greatest?" Their question is, who should be the greatest? But see the answer of Jesus. "And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desire to be the first, he should do what? The same shall be last of all and servant of all." He has answered them. But now, this next statement is a serious one. It's not about who should be greatest anymore. He says, "He took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them," verse 37, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not him." Whosoever shall not receive me. Whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. The test of discipleship is that you must be like a child. Matthew 18. To supplement what we just read in Mark chapter 9. Matthew 18 verse 1 to 6. Matthew chapter 18 verse 1 to 6. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not" what? We just finished our children's week, so this is timely. "Except you be converted and become like little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Next verse. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me." Finally, verse 6. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and they were drowned in the depth of the sea." Brethren, the disciples of Jesus Christ are called to become like little children. There are many things we can learn from the lives of little children. If truly you want to be a disciple, you should start meditating on the little child you have. They have their childlike faith. They have their childlike heart. A little child cannot keep grudge. He cannot hold grudge. If you and if a little child should fight with you now, the next minute, he does not remember he has fought with you. He will play with you. One particular Sunday, Pastor Zoe's lastborn, Promise, came into the office and I was playing with her. She was shouting, "Ah!" She was not going to listen to me. "Ah, ah!" After she saw the pastor and she came out, the same person came with chocolates and came and gave me after fighting with me. Serious fight, though, that her mom was even saying, "Ah, ah, that why, what happened?" Maybe she saw me in a dream chasing her, I don't know. Serious. But she came out with chocolate. Nobody can remember what happened. That is a little child. What about a childlike faith? God does not want you to grow too much until you become an adult before him. A little child depends solely upon his parents. A little child makes his boast in his parents. "My daddy will buy me a aeroplane. My daddy will take me," even if your daddy's salary cannot buy an air ticket. A little child does not believe anything like that. A little child feels he is protected by his parents. "You cannot harm me when I will report. I'll tell daddy, I'll tell my mommy. I'll tell my mommy for you. I'll tell my daddy for you." A little child trusts in his parents for provision, for protection, even for direction. Brethren, many of us no longer have this kind of relationship with God. Before God, we have become too mature. Even in issues as serious as marriage, life partner. Many youths don't even inquire from God. They don't ask God. They go and tell him. They go and tell him, this is who I want to marry, Father, thank you. Then when there's a problem in the marriage tomorrow, you start looking for scripture to justify divorce. Say it's marriage in deceit. Praise God. You must have a childlike faith before God. Many of us trust in our ability and connections. The Bible says, woe to him that puts his trust in a man. You don't even involve God in your calculation. You are no longer a little child before him. If you can handle it by yourself, then you don't need God anymore. But the Bible says what? In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So God wants us to continually be children before him. He said, part of the prayer structure he gave us, give us this day our daily bread. Our God wants complete reliance on him. So many of us will go into business. It is when the business has failed that you start looking for prophet to see road for you. When you are starting, you are not even praying, Father, I commit this into your hands. When you seek God, he directs you. Praise God. So a disciple of Jesus will be like a little child. Apostle Paul said, in understanding be men, but in malice be what? Children. Children don't keep malice. They are ever believing, ever trusting, always innocent. Praise the living God. We are called to be like them if we will be the disciples of Jesus Christ. It is a requirement to enter the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. He says, except you be converted, you be turned again and become like little children, forget heaven. That's what Jesus said. Are we together? The test of discipleship. Brethren, this short exhortation this morning is to make us look inward. Your pastor is not responsible for your salvation. If God has blessed you with a good pastor that is feeding you with knowledge, that is grace of God to you. But like we said, grace is different from righteousness. Your response to grace is what makes you righteous. We need to wake up and know that we are called into serious business as Christians. We need to know so. If God should give us a score of our spiritual life before him, many of us, you will weep. Don't applaud me and think I have high spiritual intensity because you see me standing on the pulpit to preach. Neither will I think because you come to church every day, you are highly spiritually intensified. If God should score many of us, we'll discover that before him, we are not yet disciples. So brethren, let's wake up. Don't be part of the multitude. Be a disciple. Because only the disciples of Jesus will go to heaven. Can we put hands together for the Lord Jesus? Let's be on our feet. As we sing in 205, Jesus keep me near the cross. That will be our prayer this Sunday morning. Shall we rise on our feet? Jesus, keep me near the cross. We have said it. The disciples will pick up the cross and follow him. Oh yes, that's our prayer this morning. We are called to be disciples. We are not called to be part of the multitudes. Here we go.
Jesus, give me the cross. Yeah.
That's our prayer this morning. Oh, yes.
See the cross.